Welcome. Merry Christmas to you. This is the Things Not Seen radio program, December the 21st, 2012. I'm your host, Manti. Co-host is the Duke, and we are very pleased to be back with you this week, every Friday, 12 to 2 Eastern. And look forward to another terrific show again. The number to call us to join in, 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. And we'll be here for 2 hours. Got a great show planned, and we're very happy you're with us. And what we want to do right now at the top of the broadcast is actually get a quick news update. What's happening in our world, Duke?
All right, Chris. The Speaker of the House, John Boehner, indicated today that he's still open to negotiations with President Obama to avoid across-the-board tax increases that are set to kick in on New Year's Day, but he sounded pessimistic about reaching a deal with the president. The Republican leader was forced by his members to abandon legislation that would have raised taxes on millionaires. Boehner said, "We didn't have the votes to pass it." The nation's largest Second Amendment rights lobby is calling for armed police officers to be posted in every American school to stop the next killer who may be waiting in the wings. The National Rifle Association broke its silence today on last Friday's shooting rampage at a Connecticut elementary school that left 26 children and staff dead. The presumed killer, 20-year-old Adam Lanza, murdered his mother, Nancy, before going to the elementary school near Newtown, Connecticut. He took his own life when he heard police sirens approaching the school. President Barack Obama will nominate Senator John Kerry today as his next Secretary of State, according to a senior administration official, making the first move in a sweeping overhaul of his national security team heading into his second term. If confirmed, Kerry would take the helm at the State Department from outgoing Secretary Hillary Rodham Clinton, who has long stated her intentions to leave early next year. The longtime Massachusetts senator is expected to be easily approved for the cabinet post by his Capitol Hill colleagues. And today is the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year in the Northern Hemisphere. It's also the day that some theorists claimed would be the end of the world based on a questionable interpretation of an ancient Maya Indian calendar. So far, no polar reversals, massive earthquakes, solar storms, or nuclear holocausts to report. And we're keeping our fingers crossed on that one. Chris?
Personally, I have my fingers and toes crossed just to be safe.
Gross.
Yeah. Can we just dispense with this? I mean, anytime a human being makes a prediction like this, you can just mock it. I mean, you know right then and there that it's wrong.
Yes, so, that's right. And there have been so many of these over the centuries. They've all been wrong.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to learn, right? One of these days. Just don't worry about it. You know, God's in control, and man is unreliable at best and liar at worst. So don't worry about it. Just, I don't know. I personally don't know anyone who was, but still the fact that people were going to this French mountain for the mothership pickup or whatever the heck is going on there, I just think it's funny and worthy of ridicule. I don't, you know, remember last year with the that church saying the rapture was going to happen on a specific day, May or something. I mocked them months before. Publicly. I went to, there's a forum that I'm a part of that I would just, you know, make fun of them. Like, look, it ain't going to happen. And people were, oh well, you know, they mean well. I said, no, they don't. There we go. This guy's
exactly
crazy.
I think it says in the Bible, and I think it's in the Gospel of John, that ye know not when the Lord will come. And I will have to take that at face value, frankly.
Yeah, that's a good subject for another episode of our tremendous program, Things Not Seen, 718-305-7176. 718-305-7176, part of the Conservative Nation radio network. And you can find the network at conservativenationradio.org, anytime. There's a tab right there from the homepage. You can listen in live. So you don't even have to find where we are on Blog Talk Radio, even though that's our medium of choice at this time, Blog Talk Radio. So feel free. Again, you can come right to the page right now and chat with us. We have a flash chat page open, so you can engage. Of course, the phone number works. Twitter, CNR Show is our hashtag. And so please feel free. And we'd love to have you today. Again, my name is Manti, your host. Duke is here with us as well. 718-305-7176. Things Not Seen radio program. We've got some great things coming up in the future here. We're actually having an official launch of the network in a couple of weeks in January 6th. And that'll bring many, many awesome things from our plethora of conservative shows. And please check them out. They're on at various times during the week. Feel free, please. And again, conservativenationradio.org is the address.
Chris, we also have the I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, right. Go, please, feel free. You're okay. Here to interrupt me. That's why I hired you.
Oh, okay. I wanted to also mention that today, in about an hour and a half, we will be debuting a new feature that will be heard every Friday here at Things Not Seen on conservativenationradio.org. It is a feature from a person, Chris, that you and I know very well. His name is Kevin Wade, and the feature is called Common Sense with Kevin Wade. It's about 1 minute of commentary in which Kevin discusses a variety of different subjects, one per day. Today he's going to be telling us just a little bit about himself and talking about President Obama's second term. So we hope that you will be with us for that. It's at 1:40 Eastern time, and it will roll out in the just after the bottom of the second hour here at Things Not Seen. So stay tuned for that.
Terrific. Can't wait to hear it. Yeah, well, of course, we are very close with Mr. Wade, and common sense is something that he has in spades, and we all should be wise to listen up and implement what the things that he is talking about. And it should be very, very cool to hear from Kevin now and in the future on these things on our network and hopefully beyond that. So we'd love to have an audience for him. I guess we'll lead off today by summing up. And of course, we can get back into it if you folks want, but the shooting last weekend or last Friday when we were on the air, actually, when it was breaking. I'm sure it wasn't great radio to hear somebody kind of, in the dumps and depressed, but that's how it made a lot of us feel. And I have a personal blog that I maintain, manti.wordpress.com, if you're interested. And I wrote on this. It took me good, basically all week to come up with the words in it. And the bottom line of it was taking responsibility. That means us as a people, and also assigning the blame where it belongs for terrible acts, and that's with the person who did it. And nowhere else. It would be great to lock people away who have exhibit mental problems in institutions, but we don't do that anymore. That's not the way it is. And America has decided that's not how we're going to do it. So short of that, what can you really do? And we have a huge population, 300 million plus. And the freedom to, move in your state and between states and in and out of your town, it's really very, very difficult to keep tabs on crazy people all the time. And of course, as we know, this censor myself, this monster has, those guns were not his, okay? He took it from his mom. And she did have them legally. So, again, what's the recourse? All these things that we're talking about in D.C. right now, none of them would stop this. None of them. Even the type of weapon that they're talking about, or magazines and all this crap, ineffectual. They're spinning their wheels and worse. So, you know, of course, I let them have it there in my blog entry. Basically, number one solution is get folks with weapons at schools, period. However you want to make that happen, that's, you know, fine with me. It's an ex-military person. It's a police. It's private security. It's or the people who work there, you know, the principal, the administrators, the teachers. Hey, if they don't know how to use a gun, you better learn because, hey, I have teachers in my family. I mean, immediate family, more than one. I have some of my best friends, literally. You know, it's not hyperbole. I mean it. My message to them is, if you're not willing to shoot a bad guy who's coming into your school to get your kids, you should quit. And I'm serious about that. You have to be willing to do what needs to be done. We're entrusting our children to you, and you have to act responsibly yourself. And that is one of those things, you know, actions that you have to possibly take. So get, you know, prepare yourself. Again, if you're not willing to do that, find someone else to take your job. Or I don't know, Duke. Is that too extreme? What do you think?
No, it's not, Chris, and you're right about that. And they are given charge over our children. And there is no question, you are correct. If a teacher, a principal, anyone who is given charge over children, either their own or someone else's, is not willing to do what is necessary to protect that child, and that may include taking the life of a person that has murder in mind, then they need to find something else to do, and we need to get somebody in there who is willing to do what is necessary to defend innocent children. Now, the larger problem is not the availability of guns. The larger problem is not that crazy people can get a hold of guns. The larger problem is not that we don't have enough armed guards and teachers in school. The larger problem is that the moral and ethical fiber and the bedrock values of this country over the last half a century are not degrading. They have been degraded. People have deliberately made specific efforts to try to degrade and dilute what most of us would refer to as the Judeo-Christian values, which are the central defining philosophy of Western civilization. There is simply no question about this. And as we mentioned last week at this time, Judeo-Christian values have been around for at least 2,000 years. And they have served the interests of Western civilization very, very well. And among the Judeo-Christian values is you do not commit cold-blooded murder. I mean, for Pete's sake, people, come on. We had prayer in public schools in this country for well over a century until some geniuses at the Supreme Court and American atheism decided that this was a violation of the Constitution, which it clearly is not a violation of the Constitution. But while we did have prayer in schools, while we did have God in schools, we did not have problems of this nature. When I was going to high school, the biggest discipline problem at my school, the biggest one, was people not buttoning the top button of their shirts and wearing their neckties all the way up to the top of their collar. That was the biggest discipline problem that we had at my school. There are schools in the country now, obviously, where the biggest discipline problem is people wearing gang clothing, being members of gangs, selling drugs in the school. We never heard of any of that back in Philadelphia in the late 60s and early 70s. Just about time for a break, Chris.
Yeah, you got it. I was going to stop you, but you're on a roll. We'll be right back, 12:17 p.m., Things on C radio program.
At Conservative Nation Radio Shows, we've got something to say. What we want to hear is what you would say. Say it on Conservative Nation Radio.
We do conservatism right.
You want to change the world? Start to spin it. At Conservative Nation Radio.
We do conservatism right.
Phone number 718-305-7176. I am your host, Manti with Duke, and we welcome you in today, 21st of December, 2012. World, still here. Sorry. You know, sorry.
I'm not sorry. I'm glad.
Well, you got some people are sorry. You know, they had a, you know, they were trying to, you know, score some nookie points last night just in case. Maybe
some
I don't
people
know, maybe.
Use any excuse.
Yeah, well, you do what you got to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, 718-305-7176. Thank you for joining us on the Conservative Nation Radio Network, conservativenationradio.org. And just to finish up what we were talking about here about our school issues. You know, when I was growing up in my day, back in the 80s, when I was in northern New Jersey, there was a sign that they put up around our schools. It said, drug-free school zone. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. I didn't know there were drugs here before the sign, but I guess the sign makes it better. So I walked home every day, and I would pass this. And, you know, somehow the drugs were in the school anyway. Weird. It seemed like the sign maybe didn't. They had to replace the batteries in the sign. You think that was the problem? I'm not sure exactly, but the signs didn't do what they would do. So I kind of soured on that whole thinking. And okay, great. I understand you don't. They shouldn't be there. We don't want them there. I don't buy them. I don't use them. Never have. Never will. Just for the record, unless you count pipe tobacco or alcohol.
So you're not moving to Washington State anytime soon? Is that what I'm hearing?
No.
Okay.
No. Even
right. just
if I wanted to. No, it's too much rain there. Yeah, so in any event, I know all about this drug-free, gun-free school zone junk. And I don't know why would you feel better about a sign? I have no clue. I don't. So there you go. And again, just to reiterate to what we were talking about as far as the situation and guns, and of course the NRA made a statement here today, and from what I heard of it, a small amount, but it seemed to be on point. There's really no other way to think about it as far as I'm concerned. I mean, let me just read you a quick paragraph from what I wrote on my blog. Again, you can see this at manti.wordpress.com, manti.wordpress.com, which is what I said in closing. I said, which brings up the last point, our Bill of Rights. Some in America would repeal the Constitution entirely, the progressive dream come true, but they will take what they can get. They have been very successful at eroding the freedom of speech and free exercise of religion, i.e. Christianity. Those clauses in the First Amendment now will, quote-unquote, take aim at the Second Amendment. As is always the case, they will frame the debate. No one else is allowed to do that. As something so benign sounding and philanthropic that nobody should even consider opposing. Simple truth is, the Second Amendment is there to guarantee the first. Individual rights that come from God, not from any government. All men are created with the inherent right to believe what they want, practice those beliefs, say what they want, write what they want, and assemble with whomever they want peacefully. Also, to come before the government to air their grievances. In other words, this is a nation of individuals and all that entails. Unfortunately, the impulse of mankind recorded throughout history is to become tyrannical and take those God-given natural rights away from our brethren, sometimes all at once, but more often one at a time, piece by piece. Those who, quote, know better than you are constantly trying to curtail these things. The right to bear arms is required to keep the United States unique in this dark, oppressive world. The shining city on a hill is not just a Reagan quote, it is the word of God, Matthew 5:14. But it is constantly up to us as individuals to light our own candle. If we don't, the light goes out. That's my piece on that.
Well, I'm with you on that 100%. And, you know, Chris, one of the problems that we have is not just the hoplophobes out there, but also the fact that the left in this country has been determined for at least the last 100 years to basically gut or completely void the Second Amendment, and there's a reason they want to do this. Under the Second Amendment, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Yes, it does speak about a militia, but it also talks about the necessity of a well-regulated militia being a necessity in the maintenance of a free state. It is very, very clear that the Founding Fathers wanted the American citizens to be lawfully and constitutionally armed to make sure that the government would not turn tyrannical. And if the American people are not armed, frankly, there is no reason whatsoever why a politician who loses at the election booth would actually leave office. Beyond that, if the American people are not armed, there would be no reason whatsoever why there would be elections in the first place. And the last thing in the world that the left wants is to answer to an electorate. They hate that idea. So they want to get the American people disarmed so they can do whatever they want to do, impose whatever they want to oppose. To most of those folks on the left, the Soviet Union looks pretty good to them. And that's what their agenda is. There's no question about it. So I'm with you on the idea that really the Second Amendment is there to protect the First, the Third, all the other ones. There is absolutely no doubt about it. And anybody that uses this event, this horrible event in Newtown, Connecticut, 1 week ago today, or the one in Aurora, Colorado at the movie theater, or the one at Virginia Tech University several years ago, or any of the other bizarre things that have happened at the hands of crazy people in this country to remove the rights of law-abiding Americans who are lawfully and legally and constitutionally armed, must have a second agenda behind that, no question about it. And frankly, I think that that would be an extraordinarily foolish thing to do. The president is wrong to be putting Joe Biden in charge of a panel or a commission. That's a PR move.
Or anything else.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I agree.
Yeah, it is bizarre. I mean, when I say to guarantee the First, I mean, George Washington had it right. He says, the freedom of speech is taken away, then dumb and silent we may be led like sheep to the slaughter. That's the bottom line, and it's so important, and it's why we're different. Oh, the United States, exceptional nation, all this stuff. That's why. And all of a sudden, we're from a baby country. Now we're the oldest constitution of the world. People have scrapped their ideas left and right. Literally, every single nation. Nobody has their constitution in place longer than we have now. So. It works, number one, but two, it's going to be constantly under assault because it offends people who are after power and want to stay there. So, anyway.
Exactly right.
718-305-7176. 718-305-7176. This is the Things Not Seen radio program with your host, Manti and the Duke. It is now 12:27 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States. We're here every Friday, 12 to 2, 11 to 1 Central. So please feel free to call. If you're listening to us live, thank you. Or if you're listening to the broadcast recorded, podcast form, thank you for that. And we look forward to increasing our listenership every single week because we're awesome, I think. I think that's why.
I agree.
We're going to have some really cool things happening. Some guests are being lined up as we speak. Some We're going to get in some D.C. direct news broadcasts. People are willing to put on public service announcements with us. So really, really good things, not just for our show, but the entire network of programs on Conservative Nation Radio. We're real close to having a show on every day of the week, and I believe we have six right now, so one to go. We'd be honored to have your participation. Yeah, 718-305-7176, Things Not Seen radio program. And, geez, where's the time going here? It's almost already 12:30. And there is an absolute ironclad order for us to play something at the bottom of the hour. It's just not even an option, really. I mean, they're getting all dictator on us here, Duke. So it says mandatory. I got to play it. So just be careful.
Violate that dicta at your peril. You know, we actually have a conservativenationradio.org prison somewhere in Texas, and those who violate the programming dictates of this network will find themselves doing very hard time next to a guy whose name is Bubba. Frankly, you don't want to go there.
Not only that, but they require you to prison issue uniform as a kilt. So watch out.
Yeah, you don't want to go there either. You know, no, you don't want to go there either.
Fact,
so,
in fact,
we are coming up on the hard break at 1:30.
I'm not sure why I
was just going to mention our number at Things Not Seen is 718-305-7176. Give us a call. Let us know what's on your mind. Chris and I are always happy to speak with you. And we will be back in just a few minutes. We also have we do have a chat room. Chris, you and I don't spend an awful lot of time looking over the chat room while we're on the air because we have other things to do. But that is available as well. So I think it is just about break time, my friend.
Very good. Be right back, folks.
In your face, all over the place.
We're online 24/7. 24/7.
You're listening to the hottest internet station.
Conservative Nation. Conservative Nation Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And welcome back to the Seeing Radio program, United States of America, planet Earth. And we thank you for being with us. Mantine the Duke with you till 2 p.m. in the afternoon. Like every Friday, 11 to 1 Central, Conservative Nation Radio Network. So thanks for joining us. I wanted to touch on real quick was there was an article, unless you want to continue on our train of thought here, Duker. I was going to read over this American Thinker piece, which I thought was really
I like that piece a great deal. And, why don't we speak about that? Go ahead, and we will be happy to take your calls about it at 718-305-7176.
Very good. This just came out 2 days ago. Ironically, the name of the author is Duke. Selwyn Duke.
That's my brother.
Really? Look at that. And the last name. That's tremendous. Yeah. Selwyn Duke, December 19th, entitled Conservatives Rationalize as America Circles the Drain. Before I start, we are conservatives here. This is Conservative Nation Radio Network. This is the opinion of one author and one author alone. And so I think it's important to hear, so let's go. Selwyn Duke says, "It's often hard to accept the truth, especially when that truth is scary, when reality seems to offer you no solutions, only poison from which to pick. It's as with a man I once knew who insisted that it couldn't be proven that smoking is bad for you. He knew better in his heart, but his available choices, giving up cigarettes or accepting the danger of their use, were both emotionally unpalatable to him. Enter the rationalization. We're seeing the same thing with Republicans in the wake of Barack Obama's reelection. Radio host Sean Hannity, citing changing American demographics, stated a while back that his position on immigration has, quote, evolved. We must now offer illegals some kind of pathway to citizenship, a.k.a. amnesty. Other conservatives are warning that we must dispense with the social issues or the Republican Party will be dispensed with. Of course, this isn't always rationalization. Some conservatives, and Hannity is likely among them, may truly believe that we can avoid electoral hell if we just do one more dance with the devil. Conservatives have always responded to seemingly inevitable political changes by slowly but surely compromising their way to tyranny. But rationalization is a huge factor. And what is the scary truth here that conservatives dare not to contemplate? They are losing the culture, little by little, every day. As the culture goes, so go political fortunes. Let's spill it out. Number one, to paraphrase Lincoln, the teaching in the schools today will be the policies, politics of tomorrow. The left has long controlled academia. Number two, the media, our conduit of information, is largely controlled by the left. Number three, as Plato wrote, when modes of music change, the fundamental laws of the state always change with them. And just imagine what he would have said about far more influential television and the internet, two media through which popular culture, which the left controls, is imbibed. Now, like a computer, people can process only the data they are given. Thus, even when people function logically like a computer, which can be rare, they're operating within a leftist matrix of ideas forged by the triumvirate of evil, academia, the media, and popular culture. These data entry specialists ensure that it is garbage in as leftist ideology, garbage out as votes. That brings us to the so-called culture war. The left is the establishment. It controls the above branches of the pen-not-sword military. Conservatives have been reduced to guerrilla warfare with groups such as ACLJ, Family Research Council, Christian Coalition, drawing occasional blood, and citizen uprisings such as the defense of Chick-fil-A. And while these actions are sometimes successful, they're always short-lived and merely defenses that serve only to slow the loss of traditionalist territory. The reality is there is no culture war. What is occurring now is a pacification effort. Some conservatives sense this, but the reality is too frightening to contemplate. You can vote liberals out of office, but how do you control entities whose agents of change are unelected? Boycotts won't do it because, unlike elections, they require more than a run-up campaign and one voting day of focus and effort. It's impossible to get enough people on board, and in the aggregate, most don't have the discipline to persevere in a boycott anyway. And what of traditionalists reversing the Ramstein march through the institutions by themselves, entering them? Good luck. Time is short. And besides, the triumvirate of evil leftists are like the Matrix sentient programs. They guard all the gates. They hold all the keys. In addition to this, add another element to my list. Number four, you can supplement your domestically produced leftist voters by importing some ready-made ones. Most all of our new immigrants are de facto socialists. This won't be changed either, because there are no longer the votes to alter our demigration model. To hear, speak, see no evil reality for conservatives is this: politics will always reflect the culture, which is steadily drifting left. And there is no way to democratically reclaim the culture. So many conservatives shut this root rot into their minds' recesses and instead focus on growing pretty leaves on the dying tree, immerse themselves in the political. Or perhaps if we fertilize the Hispanic electorate with the manure of amnesty, it will bloom as a Republican rose. Just one more concession. Fantasy. Or maybe we just need to stop the blinding sunshine of social issues and try a flood of fiscal conservatism. Dream. First, Republicans have already tried focusing on fiscal matters and de-emphasizing social ones. Note that, except when answering direct questions, they don't talk about social issues in the 2012 campaign. It was the Democrats with their war on women propaganda who talked about what the GOP supposedly believed. This worked only because the media offered their support, you said. See the above list. The media won't suddenly find virtue, but will only intensify the pacification effort. As for the growing list of the Hispanic voting bloc, as I wrote a while back, admittedly I didn't provide enough nuance, they don't mind social conservatism. And since saying, as I did previously, that they are more socially conservative than white is imprecise, I'll rephrase it. Hispanics are less opposed to social conservatism. What many Hispanics really want is cradle-to-grave handouts, the kind of big government they voted for, but could never quite get in their native land. Whether this comes packaged with social conservatism or social liberalism is secondary. Spell it out more precisely. A higher percentage of whites, I guess this is his term for native, your average American, are passionately opposed to social conservatism, but a high percentage are also passionately for it. As for Hispanics, the best description of them as a whole isn't socially conservative or liberal, but indifferent. They may register the obligatory nod when their priest talks about abortion, but they do the same in a setting where social liberalism was the default. It's simply not something on which their votes hinge. And because of this indifference, their youth will and do conform to the liberal spirit of the age. Conclusion, Hispanics are not a natural conservative constituency. Let's tackle another myth. We often hear that it's a conservative country with a plurality of the electorate describing itself as conservative. As Pew reported, 40% of Americans describe their view as conservative, 35% moderate, 21% liberal. The two important factors are missed here. First, the majority of any nation could be called conservative, as the only consistent definition of that term involves a desire to maintain the status quo, and the status quo is determined by the majority. Second, today's status quo was shaped by yesterday's left, and thus is in a sense liberal. This dovetails with the second factor, that most moderates, quote-unquote, are actually liberals, usually of the lukewarm variety. How can this be? First, wishy-washy people lacking in principle will hew mostly to what's fashionable, and again, progressivism is that. Second, liberals are solipsistic and self-centered, thus see themselves as defining the center, and any deviation from that belief is radicalism. Hence, even when they are the left of our leftist middle, their mind, they're moderates. Third, liberals want to fancy themselves open-minded, so they often like believing they're the voices of reason. Moderate or not, perish the thought extreme. Lastly, both the terms liberal and conservative have been demonized to a degree, and it makes conviction to brand yourself as one has unfashionably strayed from the pack. And since liberals are far more likely than conservatives to be relativists, to believe that man is the measure of all things, and thus that true principle is an illusion, they tend to care more about social standing than standing on social constructs. Ergo, they're more likely than conservatives to adopt a label that sounds good rather than one that rings true. In conclusion, that is America in 2012. And where do we go from here? For starters, we need to stop fooling ourselves. Many Johnny-come-lately to reality types started talking about Republicans' demographic and cultural winter only after November 6th election, as if some kind of unforeseeable revolution had taken place. But while it may have represented a tipping point, a long grandskin evolution had pushed America to that point. A process is in motion. A disease besets us. And if you understand its pathology, you know that no amount of hispandering or appeals to virtue, example, personal responsibility, with an electorate largely lacking in the quality will bear fruit. The remaining healthy acorns need to recognize this, stop trying to fertilize a tree destined for the sawmill, and instead prepare to seed new ground. Okay, well, that's the opinion of Selwyn Duke from American Thinker this week. And tell us what you think. 718-305-7176. What's your take on that, Duke?
Well, I agree with him, and I think that he is absolutely correct in identifying the media, the popular culture, and the academy as being essentially the domestic axis of evil in this country. And, you know, people often say, well, times are changing. I reject that idea. Times are being changed, and they are being changed deliberately. People who have a visceral gut dislike of our Western cultural and social traditions, our Western way of doing things, our language, our country's influence in the world, are the people that are doing the changing. Incidentally, I do have a news flash, and we'll have an update on this in approximately 18 minutes at the top of the hour, and that is John Hammer, who is the U.S. Marine, who, as you know, has been held in a Mexican prison since August, apparently is going to be released today. And we will have some updates on that in approximately 18 minutes at the top of the hour, Chris.
Well, that's good to hear. Some light in the darkness. So it seems that people on our side with social media and basically bugging the heck out of our representatives did the trick, because he wasn't going anywhere.
Well, it was certainly a combination of social media and, frankly, Bill O'Reilly on Fox News Channel, because Bill O'Reilly has been saying for the last several days that if the former U.S. Marine John Hammer is not home by Christmas, that O'Reilly was going to call for and lead a boycott of Mexican tourism. And frankly, if O'Reilly calls for something like that, you can bet that it is going to hurt and it will be taken seriously. He has the number one show on all of cable news. So he has a huge audience, and this guy has been locked up down there since August. But as I mentioned, I do expect to have a an update for everyone on that in a little over 16 minutes from now at the top of the hour.
Yeah, you're right about Bill O'Reilly. He, you know, say what you will about him. Some on our side don't like him too awful much, but I've always been a big fan. And his heart's in the right place. And like you say, when he threatens to do something, people tend to listen. And that's good. That's a good thing. We need force on our side, which is severely lacking. You know, I mean, Glenn Beck has been known to do that a couple times himself. I mean, who's bigger than that? Limbaugh, you know, he doesn't really call for anything, does he?
Well, I don't think. Yeah, I don't think that Rush has been as involved in the John Hammer situation as O'Reilly has. I don't think anybody has been as involved at that level as O'Reilly has. However, I do think that, Rush, I think it is foolish to downplay Rush Limbaugh's influence. He is the most listened to radio talk show host in the history of the medium. And I believe that it is because of Rush that the Republicans were able to gain control of the U.S. Congress in 1994 for the first time back then in over 40 years. Sadly, the Republicans that did gain control back then soon began acting like congressmen and not like Republicans. And true to what Bob Dole predicted on that Wednesday morning in November of 94, the voters got tired of what the Republicans were doing and they canceled their lease. Then the Democrats came in, and then they canceled the Democrats' lease on the House. And it has been back and forth for the last several years. Not really a good thing. Of course, I prefer to have a veto-proof Republican majority in the House, a veto-proof Republican majority in the Senate, and a Republican in the White House. But that's just me, Chris.
Yeah, I'll replace that with conservative, because I don't know what Republican means right now. Anyway,
I understand
we'll
that.
Be right back. Yeah, we'll be right back with you. It's quarter of 1 o'clock now on the East Coast, and this is the Things Not Seen radio program, 718-305-7176. Be right back.
At Conservative Nation Radio, we don't have $1 million, but if we did,
Obama would steal it.
Conservative Nation Radio.
We do conservatism right.
At Conservative Nation Radio shows, we've got something to say. What we want to hear is what you would say. Say it on Conservative Nation Radio.
We do conservatism right.
You want to change the world?
Start to spin it.
At Conservative Nation Radio.
We do conservatism right.
right, welcome back. Things Not Seen radio program. Manti and the Duke are here with you till 2 p.m. Right now, 12:47 in the afternoon, Friday, 21st of December, 2012. I am Manti, your host, and Duke is in cyberspace in the ether, floating around. He may actually be outside your home right now.
So yeah, please. You never know. I mean, good grief. I hope nobody is taking any pot shots at me or anything, because frankly, I'm not armed. You know, Chris, we have been talking about firearms, and of course, since the terrible events in Fairfield County, Connecticut of last Friday, it's been on most people's minds. But the only firearms I have ever owned have been Civil War reenactment reproduction rifles, and they are cap and ball, black powder. You know, that Victorian technology, 1860s technology, and yep. Civil War reenactment was an awful lot of fun. I've never owned anything like a modern rifle, shotgun, or pistol, or anything like that. But I am certainly very, very happy that we, as Americans, still have the constitutional right to do so, and it is a right which very obviously must be vigorously defended against forces on the left that want to take that right away from us. They want to take the First Amendment away from us. They want to take the right to vote away. The left wants to take away all of our rights, and that has been their agenda since time immemorial. So we have to be constantly vigilant about them and keep our eyes open.
Yeah. I can't add anything to that whatsoever. Again, just to follow up what I was talking about from that American Thinker piece, the point that really hit home to me and the reason why I started my own business about this is the culture determines the politics. I mean, we can talk all day about electing the right people and voting the right people, you know, the wrong people out, and term limits and sound policy and balancing budgets and all that good stuff. But unless we have, you know, the culture determines that, you're never going to our side of things, unless we start changing minds, hearts and minds on the emotional level, it's never going to change, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. That's just the inevitable trajectory that we're on. And, you know, we can't really change it by trying to convince folks on the logical level of their minds. It's just not that they're illogical people, but they accept a, how should we say, an alternative reality, a different set of logic that they don't think that your point of view is valid. It's not valid. It's clearly wrong. I mean, you know, where I grew up and the schools that I went to, I didn't have conservative friends, to say the least.
I didn't either.
You know, anytime you would express your point of view, it's either you get into a fight or they laugh at you. That's, and nothing has changed. I mean, that's how it is at every level. You know, you try to express your opinion, and pop culture will smack you down, and that's the role. And the media, their role is to report that side of it, and the fringy, extreme, lunatic, racist, homophobic, Islamophobic, everything else phobic, right? In a phony presentation of a balanced debate. So, in any event, that's why we're here, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, and that's why Duke does what he does, and that's why you're out there listening, and our fellow hosts on Conservative Nation Radio Network are doing what they do, is to get the message out, and hopefully bring some folks along with us, and that will happen if we do it right. Through 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176 is the phone number. Things Not Seen radio program, 12 to 2 p.m. every Friday, 11 to 1 Central. You can join us here live at Law Talk Radio and chat with us, or you can go to Twitter and CNR Show is where we are on Twitter. And feel free to engage in conversation, and we'd love to have you. And at some point here, this is the last show before Christmas, and I would love to talk about that subject in a fun way, possibly. talk about Christmas songs and movies and things of that nature. I know Duke is okay with that. One of his many talents is reviewing films.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not okay with that. I told you yesterday we were not going to go there. No, I'm only kidding. You know, interestingly, let me ask you this. Do you have a favorite Christmas movie?
Yes.
And what
I'm
would that,
that
be?
I'm saving that till next hour.
Oh, okay. All right. That's fine.
I'm just trying to tease them. Tease them, dude. That's what I'm trying to do.
Okay. All right. Really fine.
Very clumsily, by the way. Not good at it whatsoever, but that was an attempt. So the next hour will lead up to Christmas weekend, which a lot of folks I know are going to be traveling and hopefully not shopping. That's just insane. As I say that, I have plans to go to Costco on Monday. So there we go. I don't know what that makes me. But it's not for Christmas, necessarily. It's food. Does that count? No, it does not. It does not count. When I'm talking about Christmas gifts, I'm talking about gifts, things you need to buy for other people to wrap and present, okay? Anyway, so please feel free to join us, 718-305-7176. In the next hour, we'll do Christmas stuff. And are you aware of this Mary Did You Know song?
I have heard of the song. I'm not sure I can place it, right away. But hum a few bars.
Play it.
Maybe I can pick it up.
I have it here. Yeah, I have it here today, and we'll play it. And it's you may actually probably have heard a cover version because it's been covered so many times. It's not even old. The song is about what year is this? Late 90s, I guess it came out.
Okay.
So an ancient song. And it just caught fire because, frankly, it's an anointed song, if you will. God is all over it. And people just love it to death. And I've heard Kenny Rogers and Clay Aiken and all these whatever other folks trying to cover it. And they do not do it justice at all because the proper way is with the guy who wrote it, who sang it originally, and who has a three-part harmony action going on at certain points of the song, which is just tremendous. And a couple years ago, I found it, and I listen to it constantly. I can't get it out of my personal rotation. So we'll play that for you in a few, or after the top of the hour. 12:55 right now in the Things Not Seen radio program. Things Not Seen, what does that mean? That rhymes. What does that mean? Why don't you tell me what you think it means? Give us a call, 718-305-7176, or chat with us. And top of the hour, we've got another news update, as well as, again, we'll talk about Christmas songs and stuff. And then later on, the premiere of the Common Sense with Kevin Wade segment, which should be awesome. Can't wait to hear that. And I also have loaded up if we want to engage in the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. I know a lot of folks are fans of them. I know I am. Actually, we just went to their show last Friday with my son, and we almost made it to the end. It was real close. We left about 20 minutes too early, but I was proud, actually. We made my son last that long because he was good for, 20, 30 minutes of the show. I thought, oh, great, this is going to work out fantastic. I'm into it. Wife's into it. And then all of a sudden, he's like, Daddy, I want to go home now. Like, oh man, kidding me. These cost me like $80 a pop, brother. You have to sit down.
How old is your son?
He's six.
Well, what did you expect, Chris? I mean, come on, man.
I'll tell you what I expect.
I mean,
sit down and listen to a concert and shut up.
He's going to fall asleep. He's 6 years old. What do you want? But I digress.
It was the early show. We bought it at the 4 p.m. show for him. Okay? So don't tell me. It almost worked out, actually.
Anybody at the age of 21, those things are sleeping pills for the majority of cases. Maybe next hour I'll tell you a story about a guy who's about 12 experiencing Glenn Miller Orchestra first time in Baltimore in the 1990s, but maybe.
Well, this is the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Now, this is a heavy metal outfit. This is not a brass band. So,
you should have taken him to hear Mahavishnu John McLaughlin and the Mahavishnu Orchestra with special appearance by Yngwie J. Malmsteen and Stryper. You should have done that.
Now that would I'd go see that too. That'd be fine.
Yeah, I'd
fine
you would.
Yeah, I'd go with you. So if you're paying, I'll go. Just tell me where. No, Yngwie Malmsteen, man, that guy.
He's a speed metal guitarist of world class distinction, no question. Although, you know, to be honest with you, I'm really not a metal fan that much. There's some things that I like, I guess, but that's just not my speed, you know.
You're gleefully open minded about this because you know, you're willing to listen a little bit. And that's great. I have enough knowledge for both of us, so don't worry about it.
Good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. And if you ever know anything about how helicopters work, don't hesitate to let me know because I got you covered there.
I will do that. Excellent. All right, folks. Top of the hour coming up, 1 p.m. East Coast of the United States. This is the Things Not Seen radio program, Friday 12 to 2 with you. Right now it's December 21st, our Christmas episode, you could say. We appreciate you listening very much, whether it be live or recorded. We appreciate you and would like to hear from you. Please spread the word about not only our show, but everything about Conservative Nation Radio. Go to conservativenationradio.org to find out more. And again, the network will officially launch January 6th, so look out for that. And we will be back in just a few minutes with the most unbelievable conversation we've ever heard. Right, Duke? Is that accurate?
Oh, you got that right, Chris.
All right, be back in a few.
In your face, all over the place.
We're online, 24/7. You're listening to the hottest internet station.
Conservative Nation Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right. There's some Trans-Siberian Orchestra for everyone. Welcome back to Things on Scene Radio program. Now, 1:03 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States. And it is the 21st of December, Friday. This is it. Christmas weekend is here. And we'd appreciate your checking in with us, 718-305-7176. And right now, Duke, we have a news update, please.
Yeah, that's right, Chris. A Marine veteran jailed in a dangerous area in Mexico for carrying an heirloom hunting rifle across the border is expected to be released today. An aide to a legal representative of the Mexican Attorney General's office told U.S. Senator Bill Nelson's staff about the pending release after Senator Nelson's office got word from the mother of John Hammer, according to a press release. John Hammer Sr. said during a flight layover in Houston that he was on his way to get his son after he and his wife Olivia received a call yesterday from their attorney, Eddie Varen Levy, telling them their son was going to be released. Hammer Sr. said that he hasn't seen it in writing yet, but the attorney has confirmed it with the court that his son is going to be released today. The U.S. consulate said they would pick up John at the prison and accompany him to the border crossing. North Korea said today an American citizen has been detained after confessing to unspecified crimes, confirming news reports about his arrest when Pyongyang is facing criticism from Washington for launching a long-range rocket attack last week, or rocket, rather, last week. The American was identified as Pae Jun-ho in a brief dispatch issued by the state-run Korean Central News Agency in Pyongyang. News reports in the U.S. and South Korea said Pae is known in his home state of Washington as Kenneth Bae, a 44-year-old tour operator of Korean descent. An expert said he is likely to become a bargaining chip for the communist North and attempt to draw the U.S. into talks. Five other Americans known to have been detained in North Korea since 2009 were all eventually released. And South Sudan's armed forces shot down a U.N. helicopter today, and all four crew on board died, the United Nations said. U.N. Deputy Spokesman Eduardo Del Boy said the helicopter flew from the U.N. mission in South Sudan and was on a reconnaissance mission when it was shot down. That's the news update, Chris.
Very good, sir. Thank you. Just keep slipping my mind here. Remember, we are in the Trinity Media Studios. Did you know that?
I was aware of that, yes.
Yes, and it's a terrific location, prime real estate, and nothing but the best technology, and I'm so thankful to be part of that. TrinityMediaOnline.com, more information. So it came out of that. First of all, great news about the Mexican prisoner, not so good news for a North Korean prisoner. You would think he'd be relatively safe, because like you say, I'm sure they're not interested in harming this person, being to use him as a pawn to get talks, some kind of concession from us in some degree. So you think he'd be okay, but still not a good situation for that gentleman.
Yeah, the North Korean government is probably the worst government in the entire world. They have been ridiculous Stalinist, Maoist, Marxist, Nazis since day number one. And, as they say, Chris, in capitalism there is never enough food, but in capitalism there is never enough money, but in communism there is never enough food. And that is certainly the case in North Korea. I mean, here is ostensibly a halfway modern country that during the last decade of the 20th century and so far in the first decade of the 21st, it's estimated that over 5 million people have starved to death in North Korea just because they simply cannot figure out how to get food to the marketplace in their Marxist, Stalinist, constructed society. And those societies never, ever, ever work. It's kind of like in the old Soviet Union. They had apparently something like 78 years of bad harvests. They always had to buy food from somewhere else. And as soon as communism was over, amazingly, the weather cleared up and now they can see themselves again. It's remarkable.
Yeah, the soil is fertile now. Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
It's pretty amazing. I still remember who was that? Yeltsin, who came here and stopped in the supermarket, and he was so overwhelmed that he cried at all the food that we could buy.
Yeah, there was a terrific movie from around 1984, I think it was called Moscow on the Hudson, with Robin Williams and Marita Conchita Alonso, I think that's who was in it. But, when Robin Williams, a Soviet emigre, came to America and his girlfriend said, go to the market and get some coffee, when he went into the market and he saw, 300 different brands of coffee from which to choose, he fainted because those were choices that in his life in the Soviet Union he would have never even conceived of being able to make. There was one coffee selection there when they had coffee at all, and that was it. Now, coincidentally, several years ago, I met a girl who was from East Germany, I think. She grew up in East Germany. And shortly after coming to the United States, right before the fall of East Germany, which I think was in 1987 or 88, she was able to get out. She came to the United States, and when her boyfriend sent her to the market with a list of things to get, she said she literally, when she got in there, she got sick to her stomach. She simply could not fathom the number of choices that a robust capitalist economy offers to its customers. And that's basically what we've got here. They certainly don't have that or anything like it in a place like Pyongyang, North Korea.
Yeah, that's what's scary about them a little bit, is they actually have nukes. You know, we're talking Iran may or may not, we don't know what they have exactly, but we know North Korea has a bunch of material and rockets to launch it with. And there's talk about EMP devices, all this nasty stuff. Of course, they have chemical weapons, on and on. And they're a tiny country. And the dictator is even tinier, okay? And so it's kind of nerve-wracking where, you know, he decides, well, that's it. It's kind of like the shooter, right? Goes into the school. At some point, he's going to shoot himself because he decides that's it. So, That's unnerving when these folks have all this stuff, and they have delivery vehicles for the West Coast. I mean, that's an established fact, isn't it? I mean, it's so maybe it's Seattle, maybe it's San Diego, but they have things that can reach, and that's not cool. That's not cool. So we got to be careful.
No, it's not. But on the other hand, pot is now legal in Washington, so if they take out Tacoma, the people might not even be aware of it, and they might not even care, as long as they can get food delivered, which is something that you cannot get food delivered in North Korea. You remember Richard Pryor, right?
Yeah, sure.
The comedian Richard Pryor?
Yeah, yep.
Richard, I saw him doing a routine. It might have been on HBO 15 years, 20 years ago, something like that. And he said he had gone to Africa, and he was on tour over there, and he said he wanted to meet as many, African brothers as he possibly could, and okay, fine. And he said he was somewhere, maybe Nairobi or Lagos or, wherever, Sao Tome and Princess, someplace in Africa, and he said this African dude came up to him and said, "Are you from America?" And Richard Pryor said, "Yeah, man, but don't hold it against me, man," or some nonsense like that. Mm-hmm. And he said the African guy said to him, "I heard that you can eat 24 hours a day in America." And Richard Pryor just kind of looked at him like, "Well, yeah, there's always some place that's open." And the African guy then said, "I heard that you can pick up the telephone and someone will bring a hot meal to your house in America." And Richard Pryor said, well, yeah, there is takeout and delivery, yes. And the African guy then said, I hear that in America, everybody has a telephone and they all work all the time in America. And Richard Pryor said, yes, that's right. And the next thing he said was basically he was beginning to reassess in his mind, after having been in Africa, whether America was truly the evil, bigoted, discriminatory, prejudicial, racist, homophobic, xenophobic, claustrophobic, you know, nation that he had believed it to be before he traveled to other places and saw what the rest of the world lives like. So, you know, we have enough food and enough agriculture in the United States to literally feed almost the entire rest of the world. The North Koreans obviously are focused on maintaining power in the Kim family. And, you know, North Korea calls itself the People's Federated Democratic Socialist Republic of North Korea or something like that.
Yeah,
and it is not a republic. North Korea is a monarchy. And the fact that it is a monarchy is proven beyond dispute by the fact that power is passed from father to son. It is automatic. It is expected. It went from Kim Il-sung to Kim Jong-il and now to Kim Il in the head or whatever this kid's name is. And that's basically the deal. It is not a republic. Yeah, Kim Dae-jung or something. But it is not a republic. It is a monarchy. And the people have absolutely no say over there. Now, before we go to the break, one other thing about North Korea. You know, we have all seen videos of, you know, when the ruler of North Korea has a public demonstration and there are tanks and, you know, their troops marching and they're doing this goose step march. But, you know, if you look at all those massed troops that are passing in review in front of the ruler's platform, you will notice that none of them are carrying rifles. And when I saw that and I noticed it, Chris, I thought there are only two reasons why they would not be. Number one, they do not have enough rifles to arm not only the ceremonial troops passing in review, but also their border and the rest of their army. Or two, the leadership simply does not trust the troops that are on review to be armed in front of their dear, fearless leader. So, you know, just food for thought. Noam Sain, yo.
Word up, Holmes. Indeed. It is now 1:15 the p.m. Things on Scene Radio program. Manti and the Duke, we will be right back.
At Conservative Nation Radio Shows, we've got something to say. What we want to hear is what you would say. Say it on Conservative Nation Radio.
We do conservatism right.
In your face, all over the place.
We're online, 24/7, 24/7. You're listening to the hottest internet station.
Conservative Nation, Conservative Nation Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Radio program back with you now, 1:18 the p.m. Anti and the Duke, 718-305-7176. If you'd like to engage, 718-305-7176, or come on board and chat with us here at Blog Talk Radio. We are the Conservative Nation Radio Network. You can visit us, conservativenationradio.org, .org. At any time, you can listen right from there. Or again, blogtalkradio.com/conservativenationradio. And as a matter of fact, we're going to use this little opportunity here, talking about the network, to talk about a Christmas Eve special that the network is putting on for everyone Monday night, 8 p.m. And it's going to be pretty long now, a whole bunch of like old school traditional Christmas types of things. You know, your Rudolph and Frosty and Bing Crosby and basically all your, you know, stuff from the 50s and 60s. And Santa apparently will be stopping in. I don't know what's happening there, how they get all these people. But they will be there, and we'd love to have you join in. Again, this is the same address, blogtalkradio.com/conservativenationradio, or just go to conservativenationradio.org. And you can listen right from there. We'd love to have you be part of that. Again, Monday night, I believe it's 8 o'clock Eastern. Can you confirm, Duke? I'll confirm it. Hang on.
I believe that it is 8 o'clock. And, you know, we were speaking about favorite Christmas songs, and certainly we're going to have a lot of good Christmas music during that special. And what is your favorite Christmas song?
I'm sorry to interrupt.
Okay.
7:30 Central. So that means 8:30 Eastern. 8:30 Eastern.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I don't do Central time. I always lived on the East Coast. The only thing that matters to me, so that's why I always refer to East Coast time. Okay, folks. Sorry. Anyway, 8:30 Monday night. We have our special Conservative Nation Radio Christmas Eve broadcast, and we've got lots of commitments here already. We have an ad on Facebook for it. An event, set up. And a whole bunch of folks over, 1,500 have been invited. Got almost 100 committed to listen, and 50 maybes, which is pretty awesome. So we'll see what happens there. Hope you can join us. And, of course, it'll be recorded so you can listen later on. And we'd love to have you do that also. Duke, I rudely interrupted you. Please continue.
Well, I was just asking you, what is your favorite Christmas song? And then we'll talk about Christmas movies.
Oh, well, like we were talking earlier, this Mary Did You Know song is really, it makes me cry. It's so good. And that's right now, if you had to nail me down, that's it. I love the old, I like the religious songs, right? I like the Heart of the Herald Angels thing, the Joy of the World, the what child is this? Okay. What's the other one? Oh, Holy Night. Things like that.
Oh yeah, that's a very good one.
I'm a fan of those. As a matter of fact, there are two. I'm not a big pop singer fan, as you may or may not have figured out. But Celine Dion puts out some of the most outrageously good Christmas songs. And she really shows off her talent in that medium, which is totally awesome. She does, I think it's All Holy Night is one of them, and O Come All Ye Faithful. And those are two of my favorites anyways, but if you can hear that off her Christmas album, it's called something really innocuous, like These Are Special Times or something to that effect. They're really, really good. So as a fan of just vocalists in general, I greatly enjoy those and the more traditional numbers. I'm not into the Rudolph and Frosty, although, of course, I know all the words. And I'll sing them with the kids and all that stuff. So those are fine with me also. And then, of course, like I said, Mary Did You Know is up there, and I will be playing that in just a few minutes. So what are your favorites, Duke?
Well, what do you think of that Welsh chick, Charlotte Church? You know who she is?
Yeah, she was, I remember when she first came on, she was like 13, right? Like
really
young. Yeah, she seemed to be quite good when I heard her.
Yeah, she's wonderful. I think my favorite general Christmas song is The Carol of the Bells, even though it's in a minor key. But I really love that one. And I think my favorite fairly recent Christmas song is the one by Greg Lake from Emerson, Lake & Palmer called I Believe in Father Christmas. And even though some of the words are kind of ridiculously iconoclastic and, you know, counterculture running wild and all that sort of stuff, I still think it is an awesome Christmas song, and I absolutely love it.
Who now? Emerson, Lake & Palmer?
It's Greg Lake, yeah. And it's Greg Lake of Emerson, Lake & Palmer, and it's called I Believe in Father Christmas. It is absolutely a fabulous Christmas song, and I think it just came out sometime, it came out around 1990 or 93 or something like that. It's fairly recent, at least to an old guy like me. But it is just a wonderful Christmas song, and it evokes, you know, the just the feeling and the spirit of Christmas, and that is my favorite one. Now, do you have a favorite Christmas movie?
Christmas Story, does that count?
Well, sure.
All right, then. That's easy. Of course, you know, wonderful. It's a Wonderful Life, great film. Of course, all the, you know, again, you grow up with all the claymations. I've seen them all 100 times. What else? Remind me, what am I missing?
Well, there is one from 1951 that was made in England starring Alastair Sim with the soundtrack by Richard Adensel, and it's called A Christmas Carol.
Oh, duh.
Yeah.
Right.
And now I can tell you, I cannot watch that movie anymore. It is simply too emotional. It was on the other night, and I happened to just kind of pass it when going up and down the dial. And as soon as I saw that black and white image and I heard the people in their mid-Victorian era garb singing Barbara Allen, I realized immediately what it was, and I went, I simply cannot watch it. It is just too emotional. And that's, you know, that's so. I mean, I've never seen Miracle on 34th Street. A lot of people, maybe I saw it when I was a kid. When I was a kid, I also saw a movie that was called Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. I thought that was very interesting when I was about 10, you know?
Yeah. Why not? Can we remake that? You know, we're doing everything else. Why can't we do that? You know,
yeah, I agree. You know, I agree. There, you know, there's also I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas by Bing Crosby, which I think is one of the best of all time. The Carpenters obviously when she was still alive, did absolutely fantastic Christmas albums, among the best. And there is a lot of good Christmas music out there, and I'm sure everybody has their favorite.
Yeah, no doubt. And at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to go ahead and play this. Mary, did you know, from Mark Lowry is his name, he does a lot of stuff with this this Gaither band. They're, you know, I'm sure you've seen it on the TBN and all these stations. Most of it's, you know, I'm not into it, okay? Not my thing. But he did such a wonderful job and has some just awesome backup singers that are stars in their own right on the song that it's just tremendous. And, of course, for me, the kicker is the lyric and how poignant it is and how, you know, to me it's just more of a statement too. So not only just a very powerful song, but the just the unabashed fact of what we're celebrating. Again, as a Christian, as a religious person, as a fan of the Bible, it's really nice and refreshing to see what is this day really about, and to put it in perspective, and to what the awesome you know, fact of history is, and who this little baby Jesus was and is. That was born that day. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, says the Gospel. That's pretty poignant stuff. It says the Word was, in the beginning, was with God. The Word was God. Nothing was made without him that was made. So that's pretty important stuff. And this is a knowable creator that we have. Not only is our father, but died in your place, died in our place, because we all fall short. And through him, we are reconciled. So that's the point of Christmas, and that's what we should be talking about with our fellow man, because frankly, most of us in America are Christians in some way or another, and we all acknowledge that Jesus has come and died for us, so why not talk about it and say, hey, you know, he's coming back one day, and are we ready for that, and are we ready for the things that precede that? And again, just, you know, this is the time to talk about it. You don't have to shy away. This is Christmas weekend. This is times where we gather, and you know, no reason to be ashamed. If we don't, this is all part of this culture battle we're talking about. If we don't talk about it amongst ourselves, if we don't really get out there and acknowledge this is what we're fighting for, then we're going to continue to lose ground. So anyway, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour, 1:30 p.m. East Coast, 12/21/2012. Mayans are wrong. God is right. And Manti and the Duke are here, and the Things Not Seen radio program on the Conservative Nation Radio Network from the Trinity Media Studios. 718-305-7176 is the number to call, 718-305-7176. And as we are at the bottom of the hour, I want to play this song because I have to hear it now. I keep talking about it, so let's give it a listen, and you give me your review afterwards, won't you please, Mr. Duke? I would appreciate that.
Of course.
All right, Mark Lowry is the artist. Mary, Did You Know is the song. Here we go, folks.
Did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby will soon deliver you? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your great.
right. Now we're ready to go. I'm ready. Let's do Christmas right now. What do you got for me, Duke? I know you went to the store.
I stayed right where I am. That is a great song. I have heard it before. I think Johnny Mathis, or maybe even Nat King Cole, may have done a version of that a long time ago.
No.
No?
No, it was, I don't know exactly what year. Definitely in the 90s. That was the original singer was one you just heard, and the writer is a guy called Buddy Green. It happened on some bus or something in the middle of a tour somewhere in the 1990s. But if you could get Nat King Cole to sing it, I would love to hear that.
That would be a little bit difficult today.
Yeah. Make some calls. I know you have it in you. I know you have a lot of contacts and networking is your thing. So make it happen, okay?
Yeah, but, sadly, they're all on the temporal plane here, I mean, if my contacts were that good, I'd call my mom and dad. I'm not going to be able to do that,
Wait a minute. I specifically, it's in your contract.
Actually,
yeah, I think we should look at it. Yeah.
No, that clause was knocked out, Chris, when I had my representatives from SAG and AFTRA contact the company.
Ah, dang it. All right, well, it is what it is then. I apologize. Things on Scene Radio program, 718-305-7176. And in a few minutes here, we're going to be launching our Kevin Wade, Common Sense with Kevin Wade segment. I think it's going to sound pretty phenomenal. And hopefully it takes off from this platform, and folks all around the country get to hear Kevin talk and make some sense to him. And who knows what the future holds here in Delaware? Who knows? Who knows, indeed. Again, we are the first state, second smallest, but no sales tax. No sales tax.
That's a very good thing.
It's a very good thing when you buy big ticket items like your car for your family, that helps. And your furniture for your house and all that good stuff. So we're used to people from the carpet baggers from Pennsylvania and New Jersey coming over the border here to shop, but that's all right. You contribute to our economy, so that's fine.
That's right.
Now, 1:36, and we'd love to have you join in here. Come to the chat room, give us a call. Again, this is the Christmas episode, I guess you could say, Things Not Seen, Blog Talk Radio, and the Conservative Nation Radio Network, conservativenationradio.org. We will be relaunching on January the 6th. Tremendous things happening. I'd like to thank all our staff on the network for their tireless work, especially Michael and Teresa, Barbara, Sky Duke, some guy, just tremendous work and yeoman's efforts all around, and I think it's going to be great. So we're pleased to have these fine folks with us and with you. So again, anything you want to talk about, give us a call, and quarter of the hour here we'll be debuting this new segment, and we'll see how that goes. In the meantime, what did I say? Christmas Story was my favorite movie. I have to say that because there's not too many Christmas comedies out there. Although let's see, didn't we have A Christmas Vacation from the National Lampoon? That was okay. And then you have these various Tim Allen type of things where he becomes Santa Claus and all his junk. Not really a fan. But Christmas Story's good stuff. Glad to see it on a marathon every year. So that's cool. What are your plans actually for Tuesday, Mr. Duke?
I will be up fairly early to make my traditional Christmas morning breakfast of Eggs Benedict for me and my girlfriend Linda. And if the weather is nice, I will be outside later doing yard work. I might actually spend a little bit of time working on a model airplane that I have been working on. That's kind of my hobby. I love to build models for the last 52 years or so. And take it easy, maybe some reading. Linda and I will have a nice big Christmas ham for dinner because we are a Mohammedan-proof household. And, you know, we may put up a big sign that says, hey, Mohammed, you know, we've got ham and bacon and pork chops. Come on in and have something to eat with us.
I love it. As a matter of fact, except the ham part, we will be having one of those also. But aside from that, we're doing basically the opposite of your day. It'll be crazy and nonstop and no time for models or relaxation whatsoever. But that's okay. We don't have a gigantic family, but all the ones that live near here will be at our house.
Beautiful.
And we'd love to do it. Yep. And it should be really cool. Good times. The kiddies, my boys love it. So we'll have aunts, uncles, and grandmas and everyone else in here. It'll be terrific. So that's coming up. One thing real quick, just to tie this Christmas stuff and into this Mayan date, just real quick. It's been really eating at me real fast. People say the apocalypse. Okay. Right. The apocalypse is coming. Can we look at, can we use a dictionary, folks, please? Apocalypse just means an unveiling, right? That's all it means. That's where you get the word revelation. That's why the last book of the Bible, sometimes called the Apocalypse of John the Apostle, it's called revelation, revealing. That's all it means. Doesn't mean anything other than revealing something that was previously hidden, like an uncovering. That's it. All right? Number one. Number two, Armageddon. I hear this a lot, too, now, this date, right? Armageddon, this battle of Armageddon. Armageddon is a place. It's a place. It's a valley in the Middle East.
It's called Megiddo. Megiddo.
Correct. Har Megiddo is what you'd say as Armageddon, and it literally means the Valley of Decision. That's all it is. It doesn't mean an event. Like you would say now, the Battle of Gettysburg or such and such, you could say the Battle of Armageddon because that's where it will be, but it's nothing more than a place. So,
right.
Class, we have A, apocalypse, meaning uncovering or revealing, and B, the Armageddon is a location on the earth. Thank you. There will be a test next week. I'm out.
That's right. And if you get all the answers right, then who knows, will you get a bag of Twizzlers or something? I don't know. Incidentally, I was going to ask you if Kevin Wade ever said anything to you about the Eggs Benedict that he had at my house. On that Sunday in October, he destroyed it. He cleaned his plate. There literally was nothing left. It was really...
No.
Speaking of Kevin Wade, we have some Kevin Wade right now, don't we?
We do. Common Sense with Kevin Wade. We're going to play this at 1:45 for our last segment and give it a listen. And I'm ready to be blown away. So let's have it, Duke. Here we go.
My name's Kevin Wade. It's a short name, and it's easy to remember. As the Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate in Delaware last year, I met some of the best people in America during the campaign. In Delaware, everyone knew my opponent's name. When he first entered politics, Take the Money and Run was a hit record. But the voters returned him to office for the 8th time. This is America, and the voters have the final say. I'm a businessman, an engineer, not a politician. But I want to speak with you about the issues at the same time every weekday, because whether you're interested or not, politics touches all of our lives and all of our bank accounts. A thought on President Obama's second term after this. What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811.
PCS4Automation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, Automation.com.
The president is obviously a good family man. There's no doubt about that. But the president must also be a good leader for our extended American family. If his first 4 years are any indication, our nation may be entering a period of very serious trouble. I'll have some thoughts on that this time tomorrow. It's nice to meet you. That's Common Sense. I'm Kevin Wade.
All right. That sounded pretty good.
I think it sounds great. I don't know about that guy on the commercial in the middle of it, though. I don't know about him, but certainly Kevin sounds wonderful.
He should be upgraded.
But Kevin, we will be featuring this program every Friday at approximately 20 minutes before the top of the second hour here at Things Not Seen on conservativenationradio.org. And Kevin has a series of common sense ideas that are necessary and should be adopted if we're going to save our country. And frankly, that's an agenda that I believe all of us need to adopt.
Amen to that. This is our last segment all of a sudden. Again, Things Not Seen, 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. Man, time to do quit you. Our last segment here for the day, Friday, 21st of December, 2012. And got 15 minutes left all of a sudden, and I don't know what happened here. But if there's anything we need to say, we better hurry up and say it because we're almost out. And they don't let us stay on late. This format is crushingly precise. There is no way we can go over time. So I don't think I forgot anything that you wanted to talk about, Mr. Duke. Have I?
Not that I know of, but you know, I don't know if most people, excuse me, fully understand the implications of what is referred to as the fiscal cliff. And unless we are able to get our act together in Washington, the average American family making between $40,000 and $60,000 a year next year, starting January 1, is going to have to pay about $2,000 a year more in taxes. And to me, that is intolerable. Washington, D.C. is as irresponsible with their money as with our money, rather, as they could possibly be. And as President Reagan once said, you could compare the spending habits of the U.S. government to the spending habits of drunken sailors. But that would be unfair to drunken sailors because drunken sailors spend their own money. And that's basically, you know, what is happening.
Yeah, I mean, you got it. What is the, I don't know, what if we were to go past this point and the law kicks in, everyone goes back to the old rates from 10 years ago. And then for, I don't know, it lasts for 3 or 4 months. And then they do something else, and maybe it goes down from there. How do you fill out your tax returns? Are we going to be charged one rate for 3 months? Is it retroactive? How does that even work? I don't even know.
I don't think anybody knows. I don't think anybody knows, Chris. I think, you know, right now the tax system in this country is the most complex set of regulations that the human race has ever devised. I mean, it is just absolutely amazing. And it needs to be simplified. There is a tremendous amount of time and money and effort and energy and everything else that is wasted every year by people like you and me having to fill out federal and state tax forms. There is just no reason why anyone should have to be doing that, and there is no reason why people's income should be taxed. I think it is fine to tax consumption. That's what the fair tax is all about. That's what we need to go to. It is much more efficient. It's easier. It doesn't require all kinds of time and effort. And that would kick our economy into almost a superheated condition. And that is definitely what we need. We need jobs in this country. We don't need regulations. We don't need more spending. And we don't need higher taxes.
I mean, that's simple to us. Here's the thing. I guess this, what's going on in the House right now, we all know the House, Senate, and the White House all have to sign off on it, these new, whatever the tax rates are going to be. So that's a balancing act that's going on here. Part of it, you know, there's a caucus that's saying raise at all costs. There's the other side saying don't raise anything at all costs. And then there's, during the campaign, right, we heard Obama keep referring to millionaires and billionaires, right? Millionaires and billionaires, millionaires and billionaires, millionaires and billionaires. Okay, then where's the proposal to raise taxes on millionaires and billionaires only? I don't see that coming out. It's all of a sudden it's down to 200,000. That's a lot less than a million, and a really lot less than a billion, I think. I'm pretty sure. I took math up to the eighth grade, so I'm pretty sure that's right. So, A, what's up with that? And I, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't that what John Boehner basically tried to do with this, what do they call them, the backup plan, Plan B?
Plan B,
saying,
that's
okay,
been
fine.
Voted down, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
right,
been voted down. He didn't have the votes for it.
Right. But is that what the intention of it was, basically, to dare the president on that, to say, look, okay, you said million and up, here's the million and up rate. You know, now what? Is that basically what they did?
Well,
the plan was?
As far as I understand it, in the context of the only thing that congressmen and senators in Washington are really interested in is being reelected. Frankly, based on observations, it seems clear to me that they simply couldn't care less about the taxpayers, that couldn't care less about the country. As long as they get reelected, that is the only thing that they're interested in. They are the ones that caused this problem, and the majority of them got reelected last month, and will take office in a few weeks, presumably to do to us what Bill Clinton was doing to Monica Lewinsky. And we are the ones that are ultimately to blame for sending those same old people back there again, over and over and over again. It really just never stops. But basically, the president has acknowledged that taxing what he refers to as millionaires, billionaires at a higher rate will barely bring in money from the federal government for about 7 or 8 days. That's about it. But has acknowledged that raising their tax rates really will not have any impact on the deficit. It will have no impact at all on the debt, but wants to do it because Obama is simply the kind of guy that thinks it is better to tear down successful people than it is to allow others to help themselves up. And that is simply his mindset. And as Abraham Lincoln said, you can't raise up a working man by tearing down his employer. And this is something that obviously Obama and the liberal Democrats in D.C. simply don't get. They do not acknowledge that they don't want to acknowledge it. It's based on kind of peasant instincts, and it is not appropriate for this country. But he did get reelected. How? I don't know. But he did get reelected.
Right. Well, that goes back to the cultural question. I mean, basically, if you're uninformed, either you're a socialist or you're uninformed. That's why you vote for him. And there's, you know, enough of people who oppose that point of view stayed home or didn't bother to find out what election day was. I don't know what the issue there, but that's why it happened. But it's over, and we got to deal with it. And the thing that really, I mean, a lot of things bug me about the Congress, but Harry Reid, this guy's turned into a tyrant. I mean – he has been, no doubt, but to say we won't even vote on a bill that potentially would come out of the House because I say so. I mean, what is that? Where's the justification? Where's the power come from for that kind of statement? Like, I'm not allowing a vote on this? I mean, that's not the way it works, right? Don't you have to vote on something that comes to you from the other chamber? Isn't that how our system works? Maybe I just don't get it. Maybe I'm just ignoramus or a simpleton or a Neanderthal. But I was under the impression that you had to vote on stuff, especially when
I think Harry Reid is, as you mentioned, is basically running the Senate like a tyrant. He is a left-wing liberal ideologue, and he very clearly is a guy that shares the vision of Obama and Nancy Pelosi and the other major leftists in our government. And frankly, his re-election in 2010, I think that there is a lot that can be legitimately questioned about it, but the media will not touch that, of course. They just won't. So, we're stuck with it.
No doubt about it. That whole casino employee, the Sharon Angle attacks and all that desperation stuff that was going on is totally dirty. But like you say, no one's interested in looking at it because they like him, in Alaska, too. Same junk.
I don't get that either. I really have no idea what was going on up there with Lisa Murkowski. That just doesn't make any sense to me.
Very, very off-putting. And, this contributes to the, God forbid I say Jimmy Carter's word, malaise, to the process. A lot of people on our side are like, oh, my gosh, what am I working for? If this is all that's going to happen anyway, why waste my time? So we could talk about that more, but we're coming to the end. Things Not Seen radio program has run its course yet again, episode 2, and we will be with you after Christmas next Friday, same time, 12 to 2. If anything changes, obviously, we'll let you know, but always keep track. We have a Facebook page, but always pay attention to the network. That'll always have the up-to-date information, conservativenationradio.org, conservativenationradio.org. Have all your information, the link to listen to any of our shows, including Things Not Seen, and of course the broadcast Christmas Eve, Monday night, 8:30 Eastern. A lot of old school songs and productions and Santa for the kids and all kinds of guests and surprises, and it's going to be terrific. Actually, again, lots and lots of credit to Michael here for putting this together and Uncle Bing and all our folks that we have on staff. It's just a tremendous thing. And again, I'm so proud to be a partner with Duke here and part of this network. And hopefully we can reach a lot of folks and interact with them. And we do appreciate you listening in again, whether it's live or on tape, as they say, a recording podcast. As always, our number will be 718-305-7176. Blog Talk Radio is our current medium. Visit that, blogtalkradio.com/conservativenationradio. So, again, we thank you, sir, for coming in and doing the show with me. And
Merry Christmas, first of all,
to you and to your entire family and to every one of our listeners and even those who are not listening. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good weekend. And please eat lots of ham, and chocolate is also good. Alcohol is okay. Just keep it toned down. All right. We don't want any of these Christmas family fights. And other than that, be jolly. Okay. And remember, the reason for the season. And again, we thank you for listening. Merry Christmas to you all. And we will talk to you next week. Again, this is Manti and the Duke signing off. Things Not Seen radio program 12 to 2 every Friday. We love you. God save us. And Merry Christmas, Duke.
Merry Christmas to you too, Chris.
All right. See you guys later, and take care. See you next week. And Monday night. Listen Monday night as well, and then next Friday. Things Not Seen.